Oddly.
William.
Midfield time, mate.
Yes, the all-important mids, the engine room.
The engine room, the guts. This is where the games are won.
Yeah, I believe we were saying back in the day in his junior footy days, he was the engine room of Nui Power.
Yeah, Newport Power Team of the Century. So I wouldn't read about it, but we'll move on. I just think that there are so many juicy options here tied in the midfield, and I'm excited to chat about them.
Yeah, it's just where do you start? There's so many players that could easily go 115 plus.
True. I think we'll continue on. We'll separate this into players that do have the early buy and that don't have the early buy. We'll start off with no early buy.
Yeah, I think these players are, as we've already mentioned in the previous podcast, they play an extra round effectively than some of these other players. So I guess that's where we'll start.
Kick off with the king of last year, Toddles, the Bont.
Yeah, the Bont.
I mean, can you mount a case for not starting him? He is expensive, but everyone that didn't start him last year missed out on those captaincy scores and they really struggled to get him in.
Only difference is last year he was 100K cheaper. 30,000?
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. We haven't seen that for a while.
It is a lot of money.
Are you starting him, Will?
I am starting him, Todd. I want the captaincy. I want the safety of the captaincy, and I just don't want to have to worry about getting him back in, particularly because I'm not starting Dacos. If I was starting Dacos, I would consider fading Bont at the start of the year.
Yeah, I feel like Bont is a better captaincy option than Dacos, especially early in the season. And he also doesn't have that early buy. But it's a lot of money to pay, and I feel like he could make up in other areas if you didn't start him.
Am I hearing that you're not starting this man?
To be honest, he's been in and out of my side.
Wow, that's huge. Look, I think from my perspective, he's a safe captaincy score and you can just set and forget. I know he's had off-season surgery, but he's going to have to do heavy lifting in that midfield. There's no Bailey Smith in there now. Can't see him floating forward too much. He's a beast. Get him in.
Yeah, and that was the main difference last year that saw that boost in points by about 10 or so. He used to hover around the 116, 120 average even bump it up for it to die later in the season. But Bebo stopped being Bebo a little bit.
Yes, it was nice.
At least with Bont last year and just played him in the guts.
Yeah.
We saw his CBAs go up a bit more and him produce a magnificent season.
I think he's a lock. We're going to move on. This next guy, Todd, is in 9% of teams and that baffles me. It baffles me. I know that you're not keen. I'd love to hear your reasoning here, but Rory Laird is one of the most consistent Supercoach scorers we've seen for a long time. He's coming off averages of the last 3 years of 116, 127, and 116 again last year. He had a stinker in round one. People got a bit scared. They thought, oh no, I've started Laird. What have I done? And then he averaged 120 for the rest of the year. So he's in 9% of teams. Why is he in 9% of teams?
I think he burnt a lot of people early last year.
I don't think he did. He scored a 50 and then he dominated.
Well, he didn't score a 50 for me, but he scored a 50 for you. Yeah,
oh, that's true.
And a lot of people probably had him captain as well.
Yeah, that's fair. But look, if you've stuck it out, he averaged 120 for the rest of the year. It's him, it's Jordan Dawson, who we'll get to, and it'll probably be crouching Rankin in the guts this year. He's going to be in the guts.
Yeah, I can't see him going back to that 127 average now that Dawson's in there. Matt Crouch has moved back in most likely. So there are a few more mouths to feed in terms of points in that Crows midfield. So I can't see the 127 average. I can see him getting near that 120 mark.
But even if he goes 115, he's probably a good pick, isn't he?
He is a good pick. He has also said he's not going to produce a performance like that again in round one. I think he said he was a little bit too hot out there.
Overheated, yeah.
A bit like us in the studio right now. It's a bit
humid. Very, very sweaty in here.
It's a hot Melbourne night, but he's not the worst selection. No early buy. I like his teammate a bit more.
Yeah, we will get to that, man. Todd, I know that you're shifting in your chair. You're a bit excited, but we might just move through prices top to bottom first. And the next man on the list, every year he does it, Todd. He starts a bit slow and then he dominates back end of the year. The skipper, Zach Merritt.
Yeah, just don't start him, picking up round 12 and then enjoy.
Yeah.
That's what I've done. That's what many coaches have done. You'll pick him up for 500Ks.
Yeah.
I don't know. He'll do something weird early in the season and pull out a 50 or a 60. And then he just – something clicks and it gets to the middle of the year. I don't know if it's the change in weather conditions or – I mean, he gets a bit more fired up that the Dons, well,
the Dons are just horrible.
Just horrible.
And they're not going to make September again.
And something sparks. And, yeah, he just goes on an absolute tear. Like,
yeah,
what did he average post buys last year? Would have been
It would have been probably, 125. He averaged, shout out to Azza, a spreadsheet that was posted recently, averaged 129 between rounds 9 and 16 and then 115 in the run home after that. Don't start him. Pick him up later in the year. We're moving on. The next guy is a huge pod. Now, do I have the guts to start him? Probably not. Maybe. He's got a great mustache. That's Tom Liberatore.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't been traded down to the Cattery, the retirement village. He's a bit too old for my liking.
He was exceptional last year. And when you do exclude his score of 20, I think he was knocked out last year. His average was 120.85, nearly 121 for the season, which is incredible. Would have been third overall behind his teammates, English and Bont, as we've talked about. That's impressive.
It is impressive, but...
No Smith now?
No Smith, but other players will go in there.
Sanders will come in. I don't think he's a bad selection. I think he's only at about 4% of teams. If you had to pick between him or Laird, who would you pick? They're about the same price. Laird's slightly more.
I'm going Laird simply because he's probably 4 years younger. I think they're both 30, but...
4 years younger. I think they're actually similar, right? I think they're both 30, but... Look, Laird has a longer history of scoring.
Yeah.
I think he's a safer pick, but...
Just a breakout when you're 32, it's not it.
It's unusual, so...
I would not be surprised if he tears it up this year. I just get nervous. When you get to that age, it's just...
Yeah, I agree.
Things happen.
I agree. The next guy, potentially the most loved person on this podcast...
We did mention him before, Jordan Dawson. Now,
just could be the best kick in the game. Exploded 116-ish average, I think, this year, Todd, after moving into the midfield. I can't see him averaging less than that this year.
Yeah, me neither. He had a bit of a weird patch last year when his kicking was a little bit off, which is unlike him. It's not that he wasn't hitting targets, but he was just pulling off kicks. And in Supercoach, when you might almost hit a teammate, but if it falls in the lap of the opposition, that's minus 4 points.
Yeah.
It's almost a 10-point swing sometimes. But that sort of did hold him back, but then he got back into his rhythm in the back end of the season, started producing a few more points. But I've been by this man since day one. I know Will wasn't, and then out of nowhere, he found his way into his team, I think it was the start of 2021.
Yeah, he was
1% of teams, 1% of teams, yeah. And he was in my team, and then we was just like, oh, yeah, we'll just copy Todd's team right there and steal one of his picks of the year.
Yeah, got him in. Now, look, he can get hot and dominate early. I know that he got off to a really hot streak last year. He averaged about 120 up until, I reckon it's about round 11. So he could be someone that burns you if you don't start him as well.
Yeah, there's players like that that you know you're going to have him during the year. For me, he's definitely a top eight mid. I can't see, he's only 25, 26.
Yeah.
He's fired up, the captain. He wants to make finals and do some good things. I can't see him not being a top eight mid. So you got to own him at one point in the year. It's just, when are you going to? And for me, I can see him starting really hot. And if he goes on a purple patch early, it's just going to hurt not owning him.
Yeah, and only in about 15% of teams at the moment, Todd. So pretty much a pod for a bloke that looks like they're, well, we think in the top eight.
Yeah, he's been a pod every year, I think. Even last year, I think he was in 8% of teams last year.
Yeah, get him in. We don't need to talk about him anymore. Both of our teams, he's locked in.
Yeah, he's going to dominate. I wouldn't be surprised if he randomly goes to that next level and goes 120 plus.
Yeah, I could see him averaging 120. The next guy I could also see maintaining an average around 120, Zach Butters.
Yeah, Zach Butters had a very big year. Yeah. Back end of the season especially, which is getting a lot of coaches excited.
140 Todd over the last five rounds, the average, which is enormous, and 120 plus from round nine onwards. This bloke stormed home. I think importantly, with Ollie Wines back in the guts full time, if anyone's pushed out of there and plays forward, I think it's more likely to be Rosie. He can play forward. He can kick more snags. I can't see Butters playing extended stints forward.
Yeah, I feel like it'll be Rosie and Mummy's boy, Ice Bar.
Yeah.
Having longer stints in the four line. Butters, he might go down there at stages, but then even then, when he does go forward, he plays sort of like a more high half forward role. Yeah,
gets involved in scoring chains.
Supercoach loves players who kick it inside 50 and get those goal assists. So I don't know if he'll hurt him too much if he's – and even last, I think his CBAs were only around about 60 in the 60s.
Yeah, great. Look, great selection. So, best buy possible. Lock?
I've got him in my team at the moment. And I think we need to discuss that just quickly with – is it Port and
– Port and Freo.
Port and Freo have that – I think it's around
13 or 14. I'm not exactly sure, but
when it's just the two teams sharing that buy, and that makes it's really it's critical. Important. Yeah.
So much easier to field a full strength team.
Cause yeah, I know last year, I'm not sure who the Suns shared it with, but Gold Coast had that two team buy, and having just Gold Coast players helps you throughout the remainder of the buys to field as team.
Yeah. So absolutely.
That is something to really consider when, if you're deciding between two premiums and one of them does have that round 14 buy, we're probably getting this wrong, but
whatever buy Freo and Port have.
Yeah.
If that's the only deciding factor, yeah, definitely would be going for the one with the better buy.
Yeah, for sure.
Todd, Luke Davies, UNIAC, LDU, do we buy into the hype train?
I think we have to. He's featured in my team preseason a few times. He's been in and out at stages. I'm sure he's been in and out of your side as well, Will.
Yeah, has been in and out of my team. Massive start to last year, 140 and 150, and then averaged over 125 across the last six rounds of last season. So can really string together multiple big scores and burn you if you don't have him.
Yeah, well, we saw that at the start of last year when he just came out of the blocks and went 150, 150. I think he was the number one player after the first 2 weeks. Yeah. People were panicking. People were trying to get him in the side. And then next week, what even happened?
He did a string, I think, maybe. Got injured.
I don't even think he played the next week.
Whatever he did, he got injured and got injured later in the season. Injury is a risk with him, but he's come off a full preseason. You've got 40 trades. I think he's a high ceiling pick. And he's their man. He's their number one in the midfield. It'll be him and Wardlaw taking the piss the whole season. I just think that he has the potential. If he can string together more games like he did at the back end of the season, he could comfortably average 120.
I'm going to say if he plays 20 to 22 games this year, he'll be a top four mid easily.
Yeah, I
he's got that sort of potential. But then on the flip side, what really concerns me is even last year, he had those 1 week off. I think he had a surfing injury 1 week. Another week, his calf was a little bit tight. He seems a little bit precious in the injury department. Well, it's not so precious, but more so that he has a lot of little niggles.
Yeah, he does.
Can get frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think if there is a year to go for it, when you've got 40 trades, you probably can afford to roll the dice on someone with as much upside as him. I think he's in and out of my team. He's really 50-50 for me. He's just the perfect mold. Contested ball, can hit the scoreboard as well. Reminds you like Chris Judd.
Yeah, I do have a few mates who go for North, and they do call him Chris Judd 2.0.
Yeah, he's exciting. He's
very good to watch. It's just that durability and that can you rely on him? It's a no for me at the moment.
Yeah, it's a no for me at the moment. He could end up in my team. If he does get injured after a hot start, it's unlikely he's probably going to drop much coin. You could just flick him to another primo mid with 40 trades, but he's a great selection. I wouldn't be knocking anyone that started him.
Yeah, me neither. Now, this next duo, the Freo lads.
The purple people.
The Purple Brigade. Sarong surprised a few last year. Yeah. I was surprised.
He exploded.
It was a very consistent performer.
Yeah, he was one of the more consistent performers, 110 plus average, didn't have any stinkers really. And I just feel like this is the year, it's going to be really interesting with Fife coming back into the guts, Todd, and how that affects people like Sarong, like Brayshaw. There are other mouths to feed in there. Matty Johnson's going to play through there. I mean, Amira probably gets kicked out of the midfield, but Sarong's there inside ball. I feel like he's staying in there.
Can't see Fife affected him too much. Fife will just do his own thing, unique thing, and just dominate.
Yeah.
And he'll, if not, help those other mids around him because he'll feed it out to him. Sarong, he gets his tackles up. He gets the outside ball. He gets the inside ball. He does do a lot. The only thing I can knock against him is the few times that coaches did decide to tag against Freo.
They
went to Sarong instead of Brayshaw, which is quite interesting. But in saying that, Sarong still only did have two sub-90 scores. So he went 70 in round one, and in round 14, he went an 84. And apart from that, he had a pretty good floor. So he does have the good bye.
Yeah.
He's one of the Freo or Port Adelaide premiums who do have, I think we're still going by round 14. Should have researched this, but he does have that very good buy round. Also doesn't have the early buy. He is a strong selection, but personally, I think you're on the same page here, Will.
He's a pod as well.
He is a pod. I'm probably leaning towards his teammate.
No, really?
I'm not leaning toward, he's not in my team, but if you've got to pick one of the two, I'd rather start Brayshaw.
Sorry about my voice, guys. Don't know what's happening here, but sorry. Brayshaw, I think if someone's getting pushed out of their midfield, I think it's Brayshaw because he can play outside. We saw that. I know you can't read too much into Pracky matches. He did play a bit more on the outside, but he had a great finish to the season last year. Average 116 from round 8 onwards. He had real injury problems early last year. If he's at a fit, firing pre-season, even if he does play a bit outside, he could average 115.
I can't see him getting pushed out of the midfield, personally.
So if you've got Fife, Brayshaw, Sarong starting in your midfield,
yeah,
that could be the go-to.
It's just unlucky for
Hayden Young, though. Hayden Young's in there as well.
Yeah, so you got Fife, Young, Sarong, Brayshaw, those four.
Yeah.
Rotating through.
Amira and Johnson probably get kicked out.
It's a bit unfortunate for Amira. Brody was good to us.
Will Brody as well.
Back.
I'm not sure what happens there. But, yeah, Sarong's he's a jet. They're going to play him.
It's a very strong midfield.
And so is Brayshaw. So, look, I'd be picking Sarong over Brayshaw myself, even with the tag risk. I think he's just an inside weapon. But I think Brayshaw's an equally – he's a strong selection regardless.
Yeah, I'm insane all of this. I reckon they're upgrade targets.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to start.
Probably good people to look at to get in
before the main buyers hit. They're good plays to have a look at least one of them. If one of them drops down to 550K, I'm going to get very interested quickly. Yeah.
We're going to talk about another duo, Todd, and these two don't play in the same team, but they're similar price, and a lot of coaches are trying to work out who they pick here. It's Jack Steele or it's Tuke Miller. Now, we love Tuke on this podcast. We love him a lot. We love his biceps. We love the way that he runs. We love the way that he tackles. But he does have the early bye. And
if it wasn't the early bye, he's straight into my team, locked in, keys thrown into a lake.
Yeah, they'd be thrown into a moat for me, like never to be found again. But he does have the early buy, so I think Tuke's potentially more of an upgrade target for me. I don't think you have to avoid every single primo that has the early buy if you think someone's going to explode, but I'd be taking Steele over Tuke Miller. Would you be the same?
Yeah, I think just at the moment.
Yeah.
So if we dive into some of Steele's numbers, he's averaged 122, 126. Then that dropped down to 110. He had a few injury concerns. I think it was his shoulder.
Yeah.
Blew out of a socket and he just soldiered on. He's a soldier.
It was a bit of a Gary Ablett injury, that shoulder. Didn't look good.
Yeah. And then last year he was just.
Yeah, it was disgusting, really. It was awful for owners of Steel. A few people had him multiple times. I was in that boat. I didn't enjoy owning Jack Steel last year, but I just think if he's fit, he looked good in the preseason first match. He was tackling. I can't see him averaging less than 105, but if he averages 105, is he a bad selection? I don't know. You'd probably want him to average 110.
I'm going
to
say it now. If it gets to round one and there's been nothing said about his body at all and he's fit and firing a go, he just has to be in your side. Because even last year we saw when his body did pull up well, he pulled off some massive scores. Even though it was surrounded by a bit of rubbish,
yeah,
I think he scored. He was in my side for a bit, and I think he scored 40 one week.
Yeah. But even amongst those poor scores, he did go massive. Like, he had a patch from round 17 onwards for 4 weeks. He went 140, 105, 160, 108, and he finished strong in the elimination final with 130 points. So the scoring can be there. I just think, yeah, you're right. If his body's good, he's going to be in my team in round one.
Yeah, he just has to be there because he can, and he's proven it before, that he can go big.
Yeah, no early buy. I
wouldn't be surprised if he goes 115 plus, which at his price is a bargain, and he also doesn't have that early buy. So,
yeah, be great. A great selection if he's up and firing.
And I think that's we're at a good stage to pivot onto those players who do have an early buy.
Yeah,
so we've just covered a lot of those selections who don't have the early buy, who are the more sought after primos, I feel like.
Yes. So if you are, and we've touched on Took, if you did want to roll the dice on one player, I'd probably cap it at one player in your midfield that does have the early buy. There are a few enticing options. So Took is one of them. If he comes out this week and just absolutely dominates in the pracky and scores 150, would you consider him even with the early buy?
I would, because with this early buy, it's sort of like the player effectively needs to average 5 more points than players without that early buy.
Yeah.
So Took, I think he's priced at an average of 99.
Yeah,
he's going to have to average 105 just to be a somewhat okay selection. Is probably.
Oh, I think he's probably
going to be happy with that.
No, you'd want him averaging 110 plus, but
yeah, you definitely want him averaging 110 to start him. But mate, Took 120. Is that out of the picture?
No, I don't think it is. I think if he's fit, and I think there's been a lot of talk about mids don't score well in Dimmer's system. I don't really buy into that, to be honest. I think when Dusty had that year that he absolutely dominated and won the Brownlow, he killed it. He averaged well. I just think it's been players that he hasn't had, like Hopper and Taranto.
That is a good point. Even Taranto last year had a purple patch where he was going at 140, something crazy. Yeah.
I wouldn't buy into that. I think that, you know, in that Richmond period, Dimmer never had a Luke Davies or an Oliver running around in the midfield. Like, now he does have that Rolls Royce. Took's not just going to randomly become a poor player.
Yeah, I just can't see it happening. Dimmer is a great coach. He's going to use his weapons. He's not going to tell Took, go out there, don't gut run your ass off.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. No. Took's going to do what Took does, and he's going to play to his strengths and just run an absolute muck. And not stop running until the final siren.
Yeah.
That's what he does best.
And the only thing we'll finish up talking about him, but Flanders coming into that midfield, he will come into that rotation. But I know that Took was sent to half forward last year from Stewie. I don't know. I can't see that happening this year.
We'll talk about that in a bit more depth, the dynamics of that Gold Coast midfield when we look at the forwards in a later podcast. But yeah. Took, I can see him going 120. He's fired up.
Yeah.
And he's just the sort of player. He's disciplined. He does everything well.
Yeah.
And you just got to get him in his team. Now, Will, unlike the premiums down back in the midfield, it's littered with players that are good options, but they do have this early buy. And as I've already discussed previously, this can effectively mean that they have to out-average players who don't have this early buy by 3, 4, 5 points, depending.
Yeah, or more.
Yeah, or more. So it can be, it will hurt, and I can see this happening, that players like Petrarca will start the season hot, go 120, 130, 140, 120, and then be hit by a 60, which is effectively a rookie coming on the field to replace Track, even though it is best 18.
Yeah, and teams that do have more mid prices might get lucky that week, and we can talk about strategy later if you have a mid-pricer pop off that week and you don't cop a poor rookie score, but odds are you're going to be sacrificing points.
Even if it's not a 60, maybe a 70, 80 if you're lucky, but it's costing you 40, 50 points.
Let's talk about the players that we do think are worth discussing that do have this early buy. So the man that sits next to me loves the D's. So I'm surprised that he's not starting one of these men. But if Clayton Oliver gets named in opening round, which would be a huge surprise packet, would you consider starting him? Would you start him?
Would I start him? Will just needs to control himself a little bit. And unfortunately, no. This bloke's been in my side. He has not left my side since 2017. I'm going to say 2016.
Yeah.
When he just went absolute bananas.
Yeah, he's a stud, but it's tempting, but too much risk for me.
At 680K, there's no risk in fading him at the start and trying to pick him up after his buy, even though.
And same thing with Petrarca.
That's enough. So Petrarca's in a lot more teams, and
he's in more than 20% of teams, so he's worth discussing. I don't see the upside in picking him to start the season unless he comes out and averages 135.
He was probably my selection or my trade of the year last year that shot me up the rankings. I know Will said, he's not going to average. He's not going to be a top 8 mid. Or I'm pretty sure he ended up being a top 2 mid.
Yeah, he had a great season. I'll eat my words there, but
Even last year, I backed him before the season started, but I did have that plan to wait for him to drop in price a little bit, because he can randomly just have games when he turns it over a little bit, has a few clangers, some of his passes just don't quite hit the target, and he can drop a 80. And if he drops an 80, it's
660K.
Will not be surprised if he drops below 600K before round 10. So he's more of a trading target, especially with that early buy. I will fade him.
Yeah. I think there are a couple of other players that are worth mentioning that do have this early buy that are in a lot of teams. And one of them is Errol Goulden. I like this man a lot. I think he's an absolute star, but I just don't know if I can justify starting him.
He's a bit similar with LDU. He's sort of that sexy selection where they can just come out firing, guns blazing, and just hurt you very badly. And if you don't own them, and put you behind the pack, or put you ahead of the pack if you do own them. But he's also another one. It's just a bit frustrating here how they do have that early buy.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that if you are picking someone that does have the early buy, you probably do want to pick someone with huge upside that can go bananas. And I think Errol is that person, but he can equally drop a 60 or a 70. His scoring is volatile. I don't know. I'd probably take LDU over Goulden, to be honest. Would you?
Yeah, I'd be in the same boat, purely because of the early buy. And another thing, like Petrarca, Goulden can easily drop a low score when, I don't know what happens, he might just wake up feeling a bit weird. Wake up on the wrong side of the bed. And like last year, he dropped a 47 and then went on and went 119, 156, 156. Then he later on this season dropped another 62, dropped another 66. So he does have a tendency. So I don't know. He could make the shift this year and just that one extra year, a bit more maturity and get that consistency. But
he could. Yeah, he could. He's just a watch for me. He could enter more of the CBAs now that Park has gone down and Nils is already out, but I think they like him in his role floating around. it's just a watch for me at the start of the year.
The sort of player, he can play in the forward pocket and Swans are just going to feed him the ball. He's just got such an amazing boot on him. He's going to find the pill wherever he is. Just could be a bit of a tag risk as well.
Yeah, it could be. But I'll just correct myself. LDU over Gordon is a selection I would make. Obviously, LDU doesn't have that early buy. But Tom Green does have the early buy. He's in a lot of teams. And I know that he finished the season really strongly. It was frustrating for owners early with a lot of kind of 90s, low 100 scores. But again, I think he has the round 4 buy. And there's talk of people picking him and trading him after the first 3 rounds. That's just a bit disgusting to me. I don't really like it.
So I'm just going to open up Twitter because we did post a question or put a question out to the community for any queries that the community did have or any concerns they did have. It was crickets at the start. But it wasn't going to get
any traction,
and we would have just looked like, I don't know.
Fools.
But we did get one reply from none other than at 3VoteClary. Not sure who that is. May or may not be affiliated to the podcast.
Maybe a friend of ours, but that's okay.
They did raise a very good point. They said, what are your thoughts on the tactic of starting Tom Green and trading him out round 3 before his bye? Now, this has been floating around the Twitter sphere, and it's giving me the shits, to put it simply.
Yeah, I really don't like this at all, to be honest. If he comes out and averages 115 or 120, you're not going to want to trade him anyway.
Let's put it simply. He comes out and I think he's up against West Coast and North Early. If he goes 150 and 150.
Then you're not trading him.
Why would you trade him out?
Exactly.
Then to maybe, it was Sam Walsh originally, there might be someone else, but then you trade him to them, and then they go on to average 110, 115. Meanwhile, just rests up.
Yeah.
From his.
And I'm sure the idea is that you bring him back in at some point, but it just feels like a waste of trades. And I just don't like it. I know even with the 40 trades, I just don't like that strategy.
Mate, worst case, Green has a week off, rests up after having a bit of a liver poisoning in those first 2 rounds. And it goes on and averages 120 for the rest of the year. I seriously reckon Green goes 120 this year.
Yeah.
He's very capable. He would be my favourite selection of these 600K early buy primos.
I'd probably agree with that, to be honest. I'd be Tom Green in the 600 plus bracket. But if I had to pick any early buy primo in the midfield, it'd be Took, I think. If he's hot early,
we'll get to Took in a second. Oh, we've already touched on him.
Yeah, like if you had to pick Green or Took,
Took just purely because of his price. But of these uber premium 600K plus choices that we have, Tom Green really excites me, and I'm really annoyed at the Supercoach team for structuring it how it is that we can't really select some of these players because Tom Green,
Tom Green is tempting. And look, if you think he's going to average 120, you can justify picking him.
You can pick him, but I can't see him burning you from fading him early and looking to get him as...
Yeah, I would agree with that.
In saying that, there is also another premium who's flying a little bit under the radar, Josh Dunkley.
Yeah. He would be just under Tom Green for me. Not really getting spoken about. 5% of teams last time I checked. Huge pod. First, he just can really string together some big, big scores.
It took him a bit of time last year to get into the rhythm of things there up at Brisbane, but we did say he had a few good patches, but by his standards, I wouldn't say it was a great season, and he's still averaging 116.
Yeah, and he took a little bit of time to get going, 108, 117, 108's a strong start, but, I mean, he really, really took off from round 5 onwards, scores 133, 104, 109, 149, 103, 153, 146, 148, 137. I'm not going to read out the whole season, but He could be a pod. I just think look to get him in later.
Yeah, the round two buy is just disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's if it wasn't for that, he'd be in my team, but I just can't justify it when he comes out round one and in round two he's back in the sheds.
Yep, agree.
So unfortunately, he is a fade for me, but yeah, insane all of that. Out of those premiums with the early buy, I feel like you can only pick one.
Yeah, I agree.
If
and
not none.
Yeah. For me, it's Tom Green if you're picking a 600K pluser, and if you're going for any of them, it'd be for Tuuk Miller.
So between effectively, it's between Tuuk, Tom Green, maybe Dunkley if you're a Brizzy supporter. I wouldn't be opposed to that. Maybe if you like watching him. But I think Tuuk, he's ready to get back to his best. There is a little bit of uncertainty about his role with a new coach, but I do like the selection. And I feel like I'm probably going to start him and Steele.
Yeah, I think we're similar. Been spending too much time together because I am leaning towards that as well. Just a lot of value saved in picking those two players to spend in other lines. But we'll keep deep diving, Todd. And next up, I think, is going to be the forward line. We've wrapped up, I think, most of the relevancy in the midfield. Is there anything else, any other mids that are standing out to you that you want to chat through?
No, do we quickly want to fire off a few?
Yeah, we could do that. I know we did that last week, and why not? Let's community, these are the names. If you hear them, just block your ears. Put the earmuffs on. Get don't them pick them. Do not pick them. Okay.
The wise words of Rocket E, get him off.
Get him off. Okay, we don't want pushback here, but just please don't pick these players. Yes. I don't want to have to justify it, but just don't pick these players.
So we'd run this segment. It was a little bit easier with the defenders. Some of these mids are actually looking somewhat appealing, but yeah. We're going to stick to our guns here. And
Chera?
In the bin.
Love you, mate, but you're in the bin for this purpose. Parrish?
In the bin. He's too boring.
Chalor?
Double hammy.
The only man that's ever torn two hamstrings at once that I'm aware of. In the bin. Rosie. That's stiff to put him in the bin, but maybe like the small bin.
Yeah, very tiny bin.
Small bin.
Taranto, learn to kick in the bin.
Tim Kelly.
He's in the bin. Walsh is injured. Don't start him. We did miss Noah Anderson. It's also a very tiny bin.
It's a very small bin. The GWS brothers.
Coniglio, very big bin.
Yeah, that's an extra size bin for the cog. And Josh Kelly has burnt me so many times. He's going in like an industrial size waste bin that gets incinerated. He's in the bin. And Sam Doherty playing half forward flank, playing all over the ground, in the guts a bit.
Yeah, he's a bit too much of a fossil. Probably goes to a retirement home soon. Chad Warner.
Oh.
First thing that comes to mind, probably not appropriate in the bin.
Jack Varney.
I love him, but I can't see him dominating or pushing the average any higher. In the bin. Josh Dacos.
Career best season, only average 99. Oh, just don't pick him.
Yeah, in the bin. Jai Newcombe.
He could break out. I'm not going to bin him. He could be okay.
Nah, he's not going to do it at the Hawks, but in the bin.
Ruthless. Paddy Cripps.
Just too unreliable in the bin.
Brad Crouch, just don't do it to yourself.
Will Day, I think he's injured.
Luke bin. Parker, injured. Shea Bolton playing forward, no. DeGoey?
No, in the bin.
Steel, we've talked about. Tommy Mitchell.
Oh, we've got to stop here.
His pig days are past him.
Yeah, Tom Mitchell.
We're wrapping this up.
Yeah, we've got to wrap this up.
But just don't pick these players.
Pendlebury's about 37 now.
All right. We're wrapping this up.
Yeah, it's going to start to
if get you want to look after your mental health.
We're going to get cancelled if
you want to get. If you want to look after yourself, just don't pick those players. We're wrapping that up. Next pod, diving into
thanks for tuning in.
Forward line.
Forward line, there's not much to talk about, but we
well,
might
not from a primo perspective, but from a mid-price perspective, Todd, there is a lot to speak about.
Yeah, we'll see how we go, but we might include the rucks as well, where we could just do the rucks now, actually. Gaundy. Done.
Yep. No, great speaking. Love it. Do not consider anything else. I don't know. I don't understand people picking other rucks, Todd. I don't get it. Rowan Marshall, I get it. He had a good end to the season. Save yourself the coin and pick Gawn and Grundy.
We'll talk a little bit.
No, we won't. We don't need to. We don't need to. Just pick those two and put Naismith at R3 and just save yourself the hassle. Lovely to speak to you. Wrapping that up there, Todd.
We'll wrap that up. And as usual, tuning into the Twitter, we've been producing a bit of content.
Yeah, we'll get more active on the Twitter.
Will's getting a bit excited on his train trips to work.
Yeah, I've been commenting on a few threads that are probably a bit irrelevant, but that's okay. I'm excited. Team reveal will be up soon, Todd.
Yep, team reveal will be up. We'll probably have to wait until
line by line, though. We'll go line by line and we'll chat to you soon.